I've heard busy, I've heard difficult, I've seen... That was from a teacher. Yeah. You haven't finished yet though, have you? Two more days to go. I don't know how that works, but everybody else has finished. So we've all had kind of varied weeks. Yeah? And how are you feeling this morning? Why are you so confused that I'm asking you questions? How are you feeling this morning? All right. Yeah, Keith, how's your week been? You've had interesting. Is it interesting as in positive or interesting as in, ha, 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 what have I done? Bit of both, right, okay, fine. So you've been at Mary Stevens for... Yeah, and others were awake and panicking, thinking, what is he coming back? Oh, sorry. It was good, okay. Well, we always come, don't we, on a Sunday morning with all kinds of different things that have been going on and all kinds of different feelings and emotions that we're carrying. And perhaps some of us have come this morning with this phrase in our minds, if only we had that, whatever that is, our lives would be so much easier. Have you ever said that? If only I had that thing, or if only this was happening, or if only that wasn't happening, our lives would be so much easier. I know I've said that probably more times than I realise. It's easy, isn't it, to have this kind of like longing for this like Disney-esque life that's a bit unreal, but we would like to have it, where everything is easy. There's no stress, there's no hassle, there's no unexpected surprises, nothing goes wrong, everything is just easy. How does that sound? Put your hand up if you'd like that. Okay, put your hand up if that sounds really dull and boring. Yeah, Dave is really, you know what I nearly said then? Dave is really dull and boring. And that's not what I meant. Well, why would that be dull and boring? Surely it'll be easier. Well, why did you put your hand up then? You get too used to it. That's a good point, isn't it? But if only we had that thing in our lives, it would be easier. If you want an easier life, this is a good news week for you. I had this magazine come through the post this week. I didn't ask for it. This serves me right because I ordered something for my mum for her birthday and had it delivered to us instead of her by mistake. And then she would have got this otherwise. Well, mind you, it's probably a good thing because she would have brought more of this rubbish in here as well. But here's the picture of the front cover of this magazine. Easy life. Anybody want an easy life? Yeah? No, not at all, did you say? Yeah, not that type. Yeah, easy life for making your life easier. Right, okay, here's the front page of their website. You see that phrase there in the blue box? Welcome to easy life. As if it were that simple. You know, somebody can just send us that through the post and say, here you go, here's easy life. If only we had that in our lives, it would make things so much easier, would it? Would it really? You know, as we've been working through the Bible together over this year, we've been looking out for signs of hope, haven't we, in different places. Signs of hope, signs of absolute certainty and assuredness in life. And perhaps we see that in different places along the way for ourselves. We've been looking out for these signs of hope as we've been unpacking God's story throughout the Bible as it's been unfolding before us. And we've bumped up against a number of things already where they don't kind of fit so neatly into that easy life kind of mindset. We've seen God's people trapped in slavery in Egypt. That's not easy life, is it? But, you know, they've been living there under the rule of this ruthless king. But God rescued them. Don't lose sight of that bit. God rescued them through Moses. But then we've seen those people, same people, grumbling in the desert and that they didn't have enough food and water. Well, not to the same extent or that they had when they were in slavery in Egypt. We've even had them saying to Moses, if only you'd left us there, we would be much better off. If only you'd left us there being oppressed and treated badly as slaves. But really? What a strange thing to say. You know, if I was Moses, perhaps I would have turned around and gone, well, hang on a minute. Haven't you forgotten what it was like? You were there being treated badly, you were oppressed, you were slaves. Have you forgotten what it was like living under the rule of that king? Maybe the response would be, well, no, of course we haven't forgotten about it, but this time it's going to be different. This time It's going to be better. It seems all okay to us that these other nations around us have got a king of their own. They seem fairly settled. They seem fairly prosperous. This time it will be different. Our lives will be easier. Have you said that phrase? This time it will be different. So God's people demand in the passage that we're looking at today, just before the bit I'm going to read, they've demanded from Samuel that he find them a king. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 8. They're warned in that same chapter what things could be like, what could happen with a king ruling over them. But they're fixed on their mindset of, if only we had that, then our lives would be easier. And so Saul is chosen as king. And at the start of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says this of Saul. He was an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Saul was impressive. He looked good. He appealed to people as they looked at him. But hold on to that, because in the passage that I'm going to read to you in 1 Samuel 16, something totally different is happening. We'll come to that in a second. First of all, let's just fast forward the story a bit. Saul wasn't the great king that people had hoped for, that would make life easier in the way that they had thought about. And by the time we get to 1 Samuel 15, the Lord has already rejected him. And Samuel is to tell Saul that the Lord, not Samuel, but the Lord has rejected him as king, and a new king would be appointed to rule over his people. What a difficult message for Samuel to take to Saul and tell him, yeah, you're rubbish and you're going to be replaced. Perhaps he might not have phrased it like that, but you know what I mean. And so now we come to 1 Samuel 16, and remember then, as I'm reading this, that the backdrop to this part of the story is hope-filled moments of rescue and promise. And they're all intertwined or sat alongside of times of struggle and disaster. Both have been there. But here, hope still remains, because the Lord is doing his thing again. It's the Lord who's showing Samuel the one to anoint as his chosen king. So if you've got a Bible with you or a device with the Bible on it, follow with me and or listen carefully as I read this. It's just the first 13 verses of 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, and oh, has the Lord chosen this one? Jesse had seven of his sons pass before the Lord. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy and with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Did you notice then the different selection criteria that happened here? Okay, we're told that David was handsome and fine in appearance, but that's not the key point, is it? The difference here in this way that David is chosen to be king was in verse 7. Do not consider his outward appearance or his height. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In other words, don't make the same mistake that you did with Saul. This time, listen to the word of the Lord, trust the word of the Lord, and then you'll know that when you follow that word, you'll be doing the right thing. It's the same for us. We're going to begin at that same place. Listen to the word of the Lord. You know, I'm sure you've heard it said before that you have one mouth and two ears, so use them in the right proportion. You heard that before? Who here knows somebody who gets that the wrong way round? Yeah? Are you looking at me again? Yeah, thanks, yeah. It's quite simple to understand, isn't it? It's not rocket science, but how often do we actually do it? How often do we listen more than we speak? It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's not hard on a Friday night because they speak for us and we just listen and talk. But yeah, it's simple to understand. But then other things get in the way and affect our ability to hear in the way that it's intended at times. If what we're hearing is what we want to hear, then it's easy. But if what we're hearing doesn't suit us for some reason or it was unexpected, now that's an altogether different thing. That's just how it is here in this phase of God's unfolding story through the Bible. We've already had one in 1 Samuel 8. God's warning his people that their decision to demand a king is not necessarily going to go well. But that's what they want, so they're not hearing. Why does that happen? Why do we struggle to listen? Particularly when people are helping us, pointing things out to us. Why do we struggle to listen? Well, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe there's not such an unwillingness to listen. Maybe it's other factors that get in the way. I'm going to come back to that. We're going to move on to the what do we do next bits in a moment. But, you know, if our listening doesn't happen in the first place, if we're not prepared to listen and hear and take on board what we're listening to, then we're going to stand a little chance of connecting with the next things that we're going to come to through this passage. Listen. We need to listen to the word of the Lord. We need to put ourselves in the right environment to be able to do that as well, don't we? Listen to these verses from the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen to the word of the Lord. Nita shared earlier on about how she does that sitting out in the garden and she can take on board what God is saying to her. You know, I love walking beside the quiet waters, whether that's a trickling stream or a lake or whatever it is. I find it calming and refreshing. In the way that Psalm 23 was suggesting. It's restorative. It does something to me. But what if what we're hearing is affected by something else? What if when we're trying to hear that encouragement, we can't get to that because something else is going on around us? Echoing in Dave's guitar, I think. But if we're distracted by something else, the circumstances around us, it doesn't help us with our listening, does it? That river is one of like 4 or 5 in the world that you're not allowed to go down in your canoe or whatever anymore because it's considered to be too dangerous. I had to get Mike to turn the volume up on the PA to give you the same experience that we had last year when we were stood by the side of that river. It's noisy. It's quite frightening to look at, quite spectacular as well. But if the circumstances around us are affecting what's going on, then we can't listen so well, can we? We need to make the effort sometimes to get ourselves into that place where we can listen. You know, just in that moment in our lives where we're feeling swamped and smothered and crowded by the circumstances of life, the noise of life around us, it just doesn't help. When somebody is speaking to us in English, but because of the circumstances around us, we're interpreting what they're saying in a language that they didn't actually speak. I think the phrase goes something like, well, you're speaking in English, but I'm here in French and I don't understand what you're saying. It doesn't help us to process what's going on, does it? Now, present circumstances so easily limit how we feel, how we take things on board, what's being said to us. We might hear words being said, but as they travel from the mouth of the person speaking, they somehow, before they manage to get into our ears and into our brains, they've got muddled up and confused by things going on around us. We end up hearing what's been said, but actually we interpret it in a different way. Why do we do that? You know, we all need to be careful with our speaking, but we need to try harder with our listening often. Here, the word of the Lord has warned his people, but their present circumstances have limited their ability to listen well. They're focused on what they see going on over there in the other nations. The other nations around them, by the time we get to this point in the Bible, have got their king in place. And everything from the outside looks so good. That's all they want to know. That's all they can see. Can't hear any other suggestions. But this is the word of the Lord. It's not Samuel just vocalizing some random thought that he's had. It's not Samuel having a bad day. This is the word of the Lord to his people. The Lord knows our every situation, doesn't he? He knows us inside out. The Lord knows what word we need to hear from him moment by moment in our lives. He doesn't utter a word by mistake, but it's always right. It's always what we need. Don't let present circumstances get in the way of being able to listen properly to what the word of the Lord knows is right for us inside out. The Lord knows our every need. He's proven that to us time and time again. We've already seen that in the where we've got to in this part of the Bible. The Lord knows our every need. But listen, we need to listen, but we need to bolt on to that. Our willingness to trust the word of the Lord. Listening on its own isn't enough, is it? We need to trust the word of the Lord. Samuel here, he needed to trust the word of the Lord as he discerned who would be the right one to replace Saul as king. He's listened to the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Don't consider the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. He's listened to all of that. And now he has Jesse, the proud dad, presenting his sons to him one by one. And each one's coming along and Samuel's saying, no, not that one. Reading between the text for a moment, I wondered about Jesse in this bit of the story, in this bit of the passage. How was he feeling? It's not written here, but I'm just wondering whether, you know, all the pressures that Samuel could have been feeling from Jesse as he's coming to him and saying, well, come on, Samuel, these are my fine sons. Surely one of these is the man that you're looking for. Surely this next one, what's wrong with him? We don't know that if that happened. You can imagine it happening now, can't you? Proud dad moment saying, come on, this is the one. But there's no space given in the text here for thinking like that, because all we see here is Samuel trusting the word of the Lord. The Lord has said to him, look at the heart. I look at the heart. Make your choice in that way. And Samuel is there trusting the word of the Lord and waiting. Now, this is the bit that I struggle with. The waiting. Can hear the word of the Lord, can usually trust the word of the Lord fairly readily. Waiting, now that's a different thing. That's much harder. Samuel had to wait, didn't he? He's got all these sons, one after the other, being presented before him. We don't know how long it took. You can imagine it taking a bit of a time. And he's waiting. He's waiting. And all the time he's trusting the word of the Lord. You know, if present circumstances affect our ability to listen, then having the patience to wait surely has to affect how well we trust the word of the Lord, doesn't it? You know, I was 19 when I first heard the word of the Lord putting a calling on my life to serve him in some way. I won't bore you with the whole story of the next 9 years, but I was 28 by the time I went to Bible college. A lot went on in between times, let me assure you. Some of that you've probably heard before. So many things happened along the way in that period of time that were challenging and disheartening, but I needed to hold on to the word of the Lord and trust the word of the Lord that his timing was right, that mine wasn't, but his was, and everything would be working out well in the end. Do you know what? The biggest thing that made the difference for me was coming back again to the word of the Lord all the time. Hearing the word of the Lord more and trusting the word of the Lord more. So Abraham was promised by God that he'd have many descendants. And it took a little bit of time. Abraham didn't quite so much like the waiting, did he? And so he tried to force his own timescales on the situation to help God along a little bit. And then finally the Lord's promise was fulfilled in the way that the Lord wanted it. Abraham needed to trust the Lord and wait until the timing was right. Moses, here's another one. Moses protested that he wasn't the right man for the job. And oh boy, did I lean on that when I was considering a call into ministry. Moses needed to believe that he was the right man for the job, especially when it got back to Pharaoh to set the people free from slavery and give him all that message that, Pharaoh, you're doing the wrong thing. Let's go. Moses needed to trust the word of the Lord that God had got it right. And he was the right man for the job. And then there's Joshua. He was appointed to take over after Moses had died. After Moses had worked through all of his, like, Lord, I'm not good enough. This can't be me. It can't be right. It can't be right. And done amazing things for God. Here's Joshua. And the word of the Lord said to him, be strong and very courageous. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua needed to hear those words again and again and again. Didn't just need to hear them, he needed to trust them, he needed to cling to them, he needed to let them fill his life. How about us? How about you? What is it about the word of the Lord today that you know you need to trust more in? It doesn't have to be something huge or, you know, significant like that calling on my life to be a minister, like I said to you just now. But trusting the word of the Lord is about the whole of our lives. Every aspect of our lives, day-to-day stuff as well as the bigger, wider issues. It can be hard though, can't it? Trusting the word of the Lord. I mean, I've only focused on the waiting thing. You know, when we're feeling like we're in that kind of unacceptable delay period of time, still trusting the word of the Lord in that space is a challenge for some of us. Listening well can be hindered by our circumstances. Being able to keep trusting can be challenged by having the patience to wait or the endurance to just keep bothering to try. But you know, we need to listen to the word of the Lord. We need to trust in the word of the Lord, but we're not done yet because there's more that needs to happen. We need to follow the word of the Lord. This is the last point we're going to look at just quickly. If we listen carefully, we can discern properly. If we listen carefully, we can understand what it is that God is saying to us properly. If we trust, then we have the confidence to follow. In my notes, I've got this question. Is it really that simple? Is life really that simple? Don't need the magazine for the easy life thing. All we need to do is listen to the word of God and trust the word of God and then do what it says. Simple. Some of you are not looking so convinced. Some of you are smiling, chuckling. Kind of, do you know what? It kind of really is that simple, but so many other things get in the way. Our level of patience and acceptance and all kinds of other things get in the way. But listen, when we listen and trust, then the Lord shows us something that he needs us to do. And the next thing, what happens then is we need to do it. Not listen, trust, and then go, oh, well. Just leave that to one side. We need to listen, trust, and then do it. Samuel had to listen and trust until the young boy David was presented to him. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord prompted in him in that moment. Others around would have probably laughed at the sight of David. Jesse, his father, was fairly dismissive. Oh yeah, I've got young David, but he's tending the sheep. Fairly dismissive, but the Lord knew what was going on. This was the word of the Lord, and this was the word of the Lord that needed to be followed. And later on, as we go on through the Bible, as the story of David unfolds, then we have amazing things of God going on. We discover that actually it's from the line of David that the King of Kings, Jesus, is going to come one day. The Lord doesn't speak a word ever to be listened to and trusted and then not acted on. That's not what the Lord is like. When the Lord speaks and encourages us to trust him, he expects us to respond. Yes, things will try and get in the way, and yes, sometimes it will take longer than we'd like it to, and we might feel that trust challenge thing going on. You know what I mean? You know, we're all right trusting on day one. Day two, we're still hanging in there. Month six, we're still looking back thinking, I'm still trying hard. And then perhaps the trust challenge game gets a bit boring and limited and we can't keep going. But we can listen. We can trust. We can follow the word of the Lord. Let's come back to that phrase I started with. If only we had that, our life would be so much easier. You know, I was trying to think of an example to give you of a time when that's okay to say. And I actually couldn't come up with one. I'm sure there probably is one. Where there are times when it's okay to say that. But, you know, unless we're really careful, when we do say it, the focus is all about us. It's all about what I think is going to make my life easier. And it becomes totally focused on us instead of the word of the Lord being the focus. When we focus on ourselves, the word of the Lord slowly, gradually gets edged out. Maybe we don't notice it's going on, but it will. See, what we think we need to make our lives easier may not be what the Lord wants for us at all. Could my life be easier tomorrow if I had a different job? Sorry to put it like this, but yes, of course it could. Lots of us could say that. Lots of us could say that. But the thing is, would I have gotten this right? Would I have been listening and trusting the word of God and then followed what he was saying in the right way? No, of course I wouldn't have been. Our listening, our trusting, and our following the word of the Lord are intertwined. They're not optional extras. They're not like, well, this month I'll do this one and next week I'll do that one or whatever else. They're all intertwined. They're all there locked in together. God knows what we need. All of our listening and trusting and following are all focused on our God who knows our every need. He knows his purposes for us and he wants us to live in the freedom of that. There's such a significance here, like we've already touched on, for the ongoing revealing of the story of God that this bit of 1 Samuel touches on. Even this morning, as I was sat at my desk at home reading this through, I'm seeing things in this passage that I haven't touched on today. I was a little bit late by then. I didn't have time to add them in. But so much significance in this passage. You see, when we read the words of the Lord in other places, maybe like Isaiah 11, where it says the one that would come from the line of Jesse to rule in righteousness and all of those kinds of things, that's what this is pointing to. This is the same family, the same Jesse. That's what this is pointing to. There are so many clues in this passage, so many signs, so many indications that this is the word of the Lord and its fuller fulfillment is to come one day in who? In Jesus. So many things jump out at us when we listen carefully to the word of the Lord and when we trust what's going on there. You know, some people try to claim that we can ignore the Old Testament because we've now got the New Testament and that's moved us on from all of this stuff that's here. And so that's irrelevant. And so we'll just focus on the New Testament. Really? Don't listen to that. It's not right. There's so many things that we need to be able to focus on here in passages like this in the Old Testament that give the New Testament its fuller sense of meaning and richness and relevance for our lives. The whole word of the Lord holds together, and our ability to trust the word of the Lord is strengthened when we focus on it completely, not just on the bits that sound good to us. When we can listen to something and we know that it holds together, we can trust it, and then we need to follow it. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So let me encourage you, let your heart be full and of the things of God, fully turned towards God, listening to the word of the Lord, trusting the word of the Lord, following the word of the Lord. As I pray now, then our focus is going to be on seeking God to be able to do those things in our lives this morning. Father, thank you for your word that we've listened to. And Lord, I pray now by your Spirit's power, you'll help us to trust you for the things that you've prompted in our lives through it. And then, Lord, not stop there, but to be bold and courageous like Joshua, if that's what we need. To be convinced and assured like Moses is, if that's what we need. Or to be patient and wait like Abraham, if that's, Lord, what we need. But one way or the other, don't let us just hear and trust and then do nothing. But Father, have all of our listening and all of our trusting of you be wrapped up in our willingness to follow you and serve you. Lord, thank you here that Samuel got it right. He listened to you, trusted you, followed your word. Lord, if he got it wrong, you'd have found another way to bring the beginning of this line of David into our focus through your word. You would have done that. But Lord, here we see things happen in the way that you'd intended because Samuel followed through and did as you'd asked. Lord, you know the things that we hear, other things that we hear, other voices, other pressures, other demands that crowd out your word in our lives or our ability to listen well. And Lord, you know the things that people say to us that challenges us at times to think, well, maybe that's word of the Lord thing isn't something I can trust so much. You know when that happens in our lives, Lord. And Father, you know as well how much we struggle at times to follow your ways and nothing else. Lord, we live in a world that surrounds us with so much choice, so many different options that are presented to us that seem good. And Lord, you understand the challenge that we face in keeping completely focused on you. So, Father, as we consider our response to your word this morning, and Lord, I ask simply that you'll open up our hearts and minds to listen and to trust so that we can follow. So I'll leave a pause there for a moment and encourage you in the time of quiet to think about the time ahead of you. Over this next week or this next month, the time scale actually isn't important. You might just be focused on this next couple of hours. Whatever the time scale is, that's not important. But think about whatever the time frame you're putting into there. In what ways do you most need this week, this month, this year, whenever, to listen to the word of God more carefully? And how are you going to do that? What are the things that you need help with about trusting the word of the Lord, and how will you make that difference? And then something that Anita touched on earlier, how is the Lord encouraging you to follow him, whether that's in familiar ways or new ways? This isn't about us saying, if only I had that in my life, Lord, it would just be easy. But this is about us knowing that the word of the Lord has something for us, that the Lord speaks to us through his word, and we can trust what he says to us, and we can follow. And leave some space, just be still and be silent in that space, and think about those things.